Hi, everybody. Welcome to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson at the NovaCare Complex on this Tuesday. The Eagles back on the field. Short week ahead. Washington, the opponent on Saturday. A nationally televised game. NFL Network locally in Philadelphia on CBS3. And Chris, the Eagles really got to have a very amnesia-like mind, because what happened on Sunday night is in the past.
Yes, it is. There's still so much to play for. I'm going to drop a little bit of history on you here, Dave. In the history of the league, since the league expanded to a 16-game schedule, only two teams have missed the playoffs after winning 11 games in that season. So there's still so much to play for the Eagles. But first and foremost, they must take care of Washington. Although they're not very good this season, still a tough division rival.
Yeah, a lot going on in Washington. Many, many things happening here at the NovaCare Complex. Lots to get to in our show today, including Chip Kelly in studio. But first, let's get Bo Wolf, get you caught up on everything happening. It's the Eagles 360 Update, presented by Sports Authority.
Thank you, guys. And, of course, everything the Eagles do this week and for the last 2 weeks of the season is done with one eye monitoring what happens in Dallas. Down there, running back DeMarco Murray diagnosed with a fractured hand this week, his status uncertain for their game on Sunday against Indianapolis. But the Eagles have a hand to worry about themselves, and that's the one for outside linebacker Trent Cole. He is questionable for this week. Bill Davis said it's uncertain whether Cole will play on Saturday. If he doesn't, that means Brandon Graham gets the start at outside linebacker, and Marcus Smith, the first-round rookie, moves back to outside linebacker for depth purposes. Both Davis and Smith talk about the transition for the rookie and what's next for this group of outside linebackers.
Our rotation will be a little more limited. Marcus will go back to another role as an outside backer. He'll still train. We're going to cross-train him, but he'll get the practice reps. We got to dust off some of his outside backer stuff. But he could be used either way, which is kind of a benefit that we picked up by cross-training him.
It made it a lot easier even today. I don't think I had any scrubs today, and it was just a lot easier for me once I moved back, just learning the inside position.
The Eagles and Washington, of course, last met in week 3 at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles taking home that one. But back then, of course, the quarterback for the Eagles was Nick Foles. This Saturday, it will be Mark Sanchez, but he knows to expect lots of blitzes from Washington defensive coordinator Jim Haslett. Both Sanchez and offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur talk about what to expect from Washington's defense.
And really, as we know, with Jim Haslett, blitz is part of his DNA. You know, we coached it up a great deal when we played him the first time. You see a lot of the same concepts that's carried through the year since we played him early in the year.
They'll blitz from the nickel position. They can mix it up quite a bit. Coach Haslett's, you know, one of the best in the league, so we got to be on point and very sharp.
Washington head coach Jay Gruden had a conference call with Philadelphia reporters on Tuesday. Here he talks about what to expect from the Eagles' defense.
I just think they're very opportunistic, man, and obviously defense, special teams, they've got 10 touchdowns. You know, we've got zero. That's a hell of a big difference, you know. They make plays, and very good, sound defensive scheme that they have. They're very disruptive in what they do in a running game with all the stunting and moving around that they do, and then they get in third down, and then they got a good pressure package.
You can listen to that full conference call, the archived version of the Gruden conference call, right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. That'll do it for your 360 update presented by Sports Authority.
Thanks very much, Bo. You can hear that Jay Gruden conference call with the Philadelphia media available on demand on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And coaches very confident that this team will be prepared, and why not? The Eagles, a tough game against Washington earlier in the season. When you flip on the tape, you know that that's a good football team.
Yes, it is, but still, the fact of the matter is that they've only won 3 games. They've had a lot of turmoil on both sides of the football. First, you look at the offense, what's going on at the quarterback situation. Robert Griffin III will start this week, but defense, they've been besieged by injuries, but still some good playmakers, guys like Ryan Kerrigan, to account for. So for the Eagles to get to 11-5, first they have to get to 10-5, and the man who will lead them this Saturday, one head coach Chip Kelly.
Yeah, Chip Kelly in studio when we return on Eagles 360. Lots to go with Chip Kelly. How do you bounce back from the loss against the Cowboys? And the focus is Washington and Robert Griffin III on offense, a blitzing Jim Haslett defensive scheme. All that coming up when Eagles 360 returns.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
You step to Philly?
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Route 124.
Route 23.
I-SEP to Philly, the 17 to training.
Jenkintown.
To her house.
His house.
To Betsy's house.
City Hall.
FTC.
Delco. Media.
To work.
To school.
To the mall.
Abuelas.
Broad Street.
To the game.
I-SEP to Philly.
Anywhere.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win,
you win.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win,
you win.
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
The moment we dare to imagine is the moment progress begins. In a flash, the inconceivable becomes everyday. Imagine someone doing the same for healthcare. At Jefferson, we've brought together some of the brightest minds in medicine, in research and innovation, resulting in advancements that will touch lives in amazing ways. You might not see how a health sciences university, an academic medical center, and spectacular collisions of imagination can change your future, but you will.
We welcome you to the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by head coach Chip Kelly, our weekly one-on-one. And coach, you've talked all year about how resilient and focused your team is and coming off a tough loss, short work week. Can you kind of talk about the mentality that you've seen today and just what you like so much about this team week to week from the very beginning of the season?
Well, I think they understand what the task is at hand, and it's Washington. You know, we made the corrections from the Dallas game. You know, when they do a great job of ownership in terms of when they do make a mistake, they own the mistake, and then our job is to admit to a mistake, to fix a mistake and not repeat it, and then move on and get ready for the next team. You know, it does nothing to continue to feel poorly about the loss to Dallas. We do feel very bad about what happened on Sunday night, but we need to get ready to play Washington.
When you say make a mistake, that's done in a film room, and that's is that just kind of say? Hey,
I just think, you know, the individual coaches handle position meetings, but obviously there's plays we clip out in terms of, okay, did we do things right and do things wrong, and you know, we build off the ones we did right and then we correct the ones we did wrong.
Okay, the defense this week potentially without Trent Cole, mm-hmm, another injury to absorb. Brandon Graham would then step into that position. Your thoughts on what Brandon has done for you this year?
Brandon's had an outstanding year all day long. You know, and we do play a lot of guys in our outside linebacker and defensive line. I think our rotation has helped us during the year, given a lot of those guys valuable experience. When Brandon has had his opportunities to go in the game, and he's had a lot of them, he's really produced when he's in there. So we have the utmost confidence in Brandon. It's like similar positions we have in our team where we think we have numerous starters, you know, and we've always considered Brandon a starter, and he plays a lot of football for us and is a productive player for us. If he has to play more reps this week because Trent may be down, then he'll do a great job with it.
Has Brandon made the most strides moving forward or dropping back in coverage?
In everything. You know, I don't think – I think everybody can constantly improve, and I think everybody can continue to refine their fundamentals. And I think, you know, Brandon is a prime example of that. There's been a great stride from him from last year to this year, and even last year during the season he improved, and this year during the season he's improved. So I think everybody can constantly improve, and I think Brandon has really, you know, taken to what we do in the weight room, taken to what we're doing in the meeting rooms, taken what we're doing on the practice fields in our training session, has done a great job for us. He's been a real good player for us all year long.
One of the tasks for the defense, Robert Griffin III, back at quarterback. What are you seeing from him?
He's, you know, his athleticism is what stands out for you, and his ability that if receivers are covered, that he can gain a first down by running the ball. He's a dynamic runner with the ball in his hands. You have to be very disciplined in your rush lanes when they're throwing the ball. You also have to be leery of him in the run game because they do have designed quarterback runs for him that they didn't have with the other two quarterbacks that they had. So it's an added dimension for him on offense that we have to, you know, really always account for. And that's the thing you worry about when you're playing against a mobile quarterback.
So the injuries haven't taken away that ability to create outside the pocket?
No, I mean, he got injured in the first game, and we did not play him when we played him early in the year, but I think he's been cleared and has been healthy in the, you know, and wasn't playing, you know, by a coach's decision, but he wasn't playing because he was injured. So now with Colt McCoy being injured and going on IR, he's back in the driver's seat at the quarterback spot. And he had some really good runs on Sunday against the Giants.
So will their offense look a lot different than it did when they came to Philadelphia? Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Because I think, obviously, there's a little bit more dynamic. You know, we weren't worried about the zone read plays and, you know, quarterback runs and quarterbacks extending the play when Cousins was in there. You know, he's a lot more ball control, precision throwing, and played really, really well against us. So it is a different dynamic with Griffin as a quarterback.
Where else does Washington have success on offense?
You know, Alfred Morris is obviously been one of the top running backs in this league for a long time, and it starts with their run game. It starts with their stretch run play, and that's something that you really got to kind of go to work on. We've seen it with a lot of different teams, but the difference with this team is that you have to also play for the bootleg with Robert coming out the backside of it, you know, that maybe you didn't have to do when we were playing against Houston or playing against Dallas, where you knew when they started and came off on that action and that angle at the quarterback spot, the ball was going to be handed off. When you do that against this team, the ball could be handed off. We also could be keeping it. So it's an extra added dimension, really an extra gap on the backside of the defense.
I find their defense interesting to watch. Jim Haslett always seems to, at least the perception is that he likes to blitz a lot. Is that the reality?
Oh, that's definitely the reality. You know, I think it's part of his makeup. You know, and he's always been a pressure-oriented guy, and they bring some different type of blitzes. They've got two real good outside linebackers. You know, obviously they lost Arakpo, but they've always had Ryan Kerrigan and Trent Murphy. Their pick in the second round has actually done a really good job for them. They're very stout in the defensive front. They got some big, strong guys in there at the nose tackle and the two defensive end spots. Robinson and Perry Riley are really good at the inside linebacker spot. So it's a tough group, especially that front seven.
What makes a blitz work? Is it the element of surprise? Is it the timing? Is it the disguise?
It's everything. You know, can they disguise it well for you? Is it do the guys have an understanding how the protection works and can it break down and what gaps they're supposed to hit into? When do they hit it? The speed and tenacity in which they bring the blitz. You know, some guys, once they're blocked by a guy, you know, they're kind of stopped. Other guys are still going to fight and beat that one-on-one. Sometimes the blitz is designed just to get guys into one-on-one battles and then allow them to win the one-on-one matchup. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Is there a lot more blitzing in the NFL than there is in college?
It depends. There are some teams that blitz. Arizona State was a big blitz team about 80% of the time. Other teams, their MO is to not blitz a lot. Same thing happens in the National Football
League. And that's based on the personnel that the defense
based
has?
Based on the, you know, maybe the, a lot of times really the makeup of the defensive coordinator and what type of system he runs.
And so the key to defeating the blitz initially then is recognition and making sure everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, you know, and everybody kind of knowing what their job is and their role is within it. Sometimes there is going to be an unblocked eye and the quarterback has to unload the ball, but the receiver has to be ready for it in that situation. Other times we can change protection and pick the blitz up. Then you got to beat the coverage element of it, and they do some different things with the coverage and behind the blitzes. It's not always the same coverage, so it's a real good blitz package, and he's done it for a long time, and he's had a lot of success with it.
Well, good luck beating the blitz this week. Big one for the Eagles at Washington on Saturday. We thank Chip Kelly for joining us in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apples, the crispiest lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in. You'll see the changes. You'll feel it. You'll love it.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
We welcome you back to Eagles 360 and all of you fantasy football players who are still alive. It's championship week in the world of fantasy football. And I don't know, Chris, there's one Eagle who's certainly been money for fantasy football owners.
Yes, he is. Jerry Maclin. You go back to that week 3 game, he was a monster against Washington. Should you start him in this pivotal matchup against Washington? Will he help your fantasy team? Bo Wolf and Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com discuss in this week's Fantasy Spin.
Well, it is championship week on the Fantasy Spin presented by Bud Light. I'm Bo Wolf. That is Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com here to take you through the big decisions ahead of what is the most important week of fantasy football. And we will start with an Eagles-related question, Joe, for the Eagles going down to Washington. Jeremy Maclin is a player who probably helped you get to this point in the season. Are you willing to start him again despite a few, not down weeks, he was okay against Dallas, but not explosive weeks?
Yeah, Bo, hopefully that just almost sort of long touchdown didn't burn you in fantasy, and hopefully you're advancing to week 16 with Jeremy Maclin. But if you're using Jeremy Maclin, or if he's brought you to this point rather, I would absolutely lock him into my lineup in week 16. And look, Jeremy Maclin hasn't been as consistent as some of the other top receivers in fantasy football, but I absolutely love this matchup for him. He typically lines up on the same side as rookie corner Bashaud Breeland of the Washington Redskins, and Breeland has absolutely gotten torched in the last couple of games. This is a defense that's given up huge weeks to Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton, and most recently Odell Beckham Jr. I would expect Jeremy Maclin to have 100 yards and an outside shot at multiple touchdowns in this game. I think it is a perfect matchup for him. In week 16, championship week, I am absolutely starting him.
If you had a semifinal game and you had Jeremy Hill in your lineup, you probably did very well. A big game for him.
Yeah.
If you have him and Gio Bernard, how are you playing those two guys?
Well, I think Jeremy Hill's the better play, Bo, and I understand a lot of people might be digging into this matchup against Denver and thinking, hey, look, they might have to throw it a little bit more, and Gio Bernard's been kind of their third down guy, maybe the guy who's going to catch a few more passes. But Jeremy Hill's been a top 10 PPR running back over the last 5 weeks, and he's a guy who's actually surprised me with the ability he has to catch the football. So I think Jeremy Hill is absolutely the better play than Giovanni Bernard. Bernard probably has some flex value, but I think you're going to need a big play or a long touchdown out of him to really be happy. I just trust Jeremy Hill a lot more.
There are some leagues, Joe, that do extend to week 17. If that is the case in your league, is there anybody that you're sort of earmarking for a big week next week?
Well, Bo, number one, the good thing is I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of playing time issues or coaches who are going to bench their starters, because there's a lot to play for still in both the AFC and the NFC. A lot of teams scrambling for playoff position and a lot of teams scrambling for seeding on top of just gaining a playoff spot. So I think your studs are going to be okay. But if you're streaming tight ends or streaming quarterbacks, there's a couple names on the lower end that I think you might interest you. Number one, Teddy Bridgewater of the Minnesota Vikings. He's got a matchup with the Chicago Bears in week 17. I think Bridgewater has actually progressed really well. He's playing pretty well overall, and while he's not putting up big numbers, I think he's got a good shot to be a nice top 15 quarterback in week 17. And of course, there's Charles Clay, the tight end of the Miami Dolphins. He's been banged up recently, and I would look to check to see if he got dropped in your leagues in case you've been streaming tight ends. He's got a matchup against the New York Jets. I view that as a positive matchup in the back seven for the New York Jets. I would take a look at Charles Clay, see if he's been dropped. He was involved this past week. I would put the waiver claim in for him right now.
All right, finally, Joe, for many people, their fantasy seasons, at least in their yearly leagues, are over. Maybe then they turn to the daily and weekly leagues. Who are you looking at there?
Well, obviously, you have to monitor the Dallas Cowboys running back situation. The news coming out this week that DeMarco Murray has a broken hand. There's a chance he plays this week, but if he doesn't, look at Joseph Randle. I think he can do an excellent DeMarco Murray impression. I think that's a run game that is predicated on the blocking of the offensive line. And I think, frankly, you can put a lot of people back there and they'll look good. So Joseph Randle is going to be a guy in daily leagues who's going to be really cheap who you can look at. But if you're playing in bigger tournaments and you want somebody who might go against the grain a little bit, you might want to take a look at Lance Dunbar in that Dallas Cowboy backfield, because I think the Cowboys will rotate Joseph Randle and Lance Dunbar a little bit more than they were working both of those guys in when DeMarco Murray was healthy. So that is obviously a situation that you want to keep your eye on as the week goes forward. And at the tight end position, a guy who I think is still going to be pretty cheap but has finally come on with a couple of strong games in a row, Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs. They are finally getting him involved on a more consistent basis. He is by far their most talented receiver. It maddens me that it took them this long to get him involved on a consistent basis, but two straight double-digit PPR games for Travis Kelce. I expect more to come over the next couple weeks.
Well, there you have it from Joe Dolan, the managing editor of FantasyGuru.com. Best of luck to all you for your championship weeks. Next week, we come back on the Fantasy Spin presented by Bud Light with your year-end fantasy awards. Tune in then on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, thanks very much, guys. When we return to Eagles 360, we're going to talk a little bit about Washington and the Eagles. The second time around, it hopefully is not as close as the first time around. What a game at Lincoln Financial Field earlier this season. We're back in just one moment.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
I sup to Philly.
I sup to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
I sup to Philly. The Broad Street line on game days.
A la bodega.
To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly.
Sports Authority is proud to be the official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. We welcome you back. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson. It's Philadelphia, Washington. An NFC East rivalry continues, the second of three consecutive games against the NFC East. Chris, and let's talk a little bit about this game and why the Eagles need to take it so very seriously against a Washington team that is struggling but still very dangerous.
Very dangerous, and you start with a quarterback in Robert Griffin III, who has so much to play for. He's looking to prove himself for the long-term future with that Washington organization. So he performed well, as Bill Davis said last week against the Giants, but he's going to be looking to come back after performing, trying to get back to that 2012 level where he was very good as a rookie, but really for him, he's trying to set himself up for the future, and he wants to do so this Saturday against the Eagles.
Yeah, and for the Eagles offense, really the focus is on overcoming a Jim Haslett defense that likes to blitz, blitz, and blitz some more. And the Eagles obviously have been really plagued by the turnover bug all season. The Eagles have turned it over 34 times, the most in the NFL after last year, just 19 giveaways, a prime reason why Philadelphia won 7 of 8 games down the stretch and won the NFC East. This year, in the 5 losses the Eagles have had, they've had 17 turnovers. That's more than 3 per game on average, and that's just too much. And Mark Sanchez, Eagles quarterback, very aware of it, understands that Washington will bring the pressure, and his job is to make good decisions, get the football out quickly, Chris, and be accurate against a swarming Washington defense that, despite the record in D.C., Washington still plays pretty good defense, and they still will be very aggressive.
Yeah, you could just ask Tony Romo and the Cowboys. They came after him earlier this season, stunning the Cowboys in what was an upset at the time. So for them, I think really the key is going to be, can they get the protection up front? Mark Sanchez, as you said, has to make good decisions. And then can LeSean McCoy and the ground game get going? If they can just get that aspect of the offense rolling once again, that will certainly help the offense.
And we'll see how on a short week, after a difficult physical and emotional loss to Dallas, how do the Eagles come out in the first quarter at FedEx Field? What kind of emotion do the Eagles play with? What kind of focus and intensity in a game the Eagles must win? Those are some things to watch for on Saturday. We'll get a little bit more of a look and a closer look at Washington throughout the week as we talk about this matchup for Saturday, a nationally televised game on the NFL Network and locally on CBS3. When we return to Eagles 360, we're going to hear from Robert Griffin III, his conference call with the Philadelphia media. He's back at the quarterback position for Washington. Eagles 360 returns in just a moment.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare. So can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
DJ, what?
You know the game's on tonight, right, Amy?
I know, but it's my turn to chaperone.
Right, but you can do both.
How?
NFL Mobile is now free with the More Everything plan from Verizon.
I have Verizon.
Download it, and you can watch the game right here.
Come on, let's boogie!
Oh, Helen.
Watch primetime NFL games on NFL Mobile, included with the More Everything plan, exclusively from Verizon.
Rico and the Philadelphia Eagles are giving you the chance to win a VIP party for your office for up to 50 people at the NovaCare Complex. Enter today at philadelphiaeagles.com/RicoOfficeParty. Sweepstakes open to residents of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Rico, the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm Dave Spadaro. This is Chris McPherson. It's Eagles 360. We come your way every Monday through this week, Thursday, at 5 o'clock, complete coverage of the Eagles and Washington on Saturday. We've got our kickoff show starting at 4 o'clock, and of course, the game nationally televised. What about Robert Griffin III, the prize possession of owner Daniel Snyder? The Washington move to get up in that 2012 draft and get RG3 looked great for a while. Not so great of late. Robert Griffin III meets Philadelphia media in his conference call today.
I want to play and we want to win games. That's it. We had nothing to prove. We want to go out and, you know, make sure I lead these guys and show them that there's no quit. No matter what your record is, no matter, you know, whether you're out of the playoffs or not, when you get a chance to put on that helmet and go out there and play a football game, the game that you love, you have to come with it. And I'm going to make sure I do that. And I know the guys around me are going to do the same.
You can listen to all of that Robert Griffin III, and it's a very good one, conference call with the Philadelphia media on demand on philadelphiaeagles.com. What else do we have in store for you here? Let's take a look. On the text side, I write about the common themes from these five losses for the Eagles. Marcus Smith, number one draft pick, just a play away from his first extended playing time in the NFL. And how about Jeremy Maclin continuing his outstanding 2014 season? On the video side, Mark Sanchez has his press conference along with defensive coordinator Bill Davis. And Jay Gruden, Washington's head coach, talks to the Philadelphia media in his conference call. Tomorrow on the text side, Chris McPherson's Five Things to Know. I talk about the blitz recognition key for the Eagles offense against Jim Haslett's defense. They're going to come after the quarterback on Saturday. And then on the video side, Sal Palantonio from ESPN checks in with what he thinks the Eagles look like down the stretch. Cover two, Tim McManus and Howard Eskin weigh in and our look around the NFC East. That will do it for us today on Eagles 360. For Chris McPherson, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.